Can't sell it anywhere else, man. It's right here in West Virginia.
This is the Community Podcast with Zach Beard and Aaron Marco, two Morgantown real estate agents highlighting the good people of our city and state. We're taking you behind the sign, connecting interesting people, places, and faces, why they do what they do, and how they came to be doing it. We're building a better community. This week's community podcast is sponsored by today's guest, Stefano's of Morgantown. Stefano's has been making phenomenal Italian and European dishes in Morgantown since 2009. They are located in Chestnut Ridge Road in Morgantown. The moment you walk in, the mood is set. The ambient lighting and the relaxing environment is one of a kind to the area. It's more than fine dining, it's a total experience with each bite and sip. Reservations are recommended, so call ahead and let Stefano's give you an incredible dining experience that you'll never forget. Welcome to this week's community podcast with Stefano's executive chef, Noah Myers.
I'm getting used to this. I kind of like it. I got to say, it's been over a year now. Jumped in with both feet. Really didn't think about it. I like it. I like what I'm doing.
I think service and anything you do sets the tone for your whole experience. Whether you're buying a house, making an information video, or eating a steak at a restaurant. That service is just, for me, it brings me back every time.
I 100%, 120% agree with that statement. It really is about the service. Unfortunately, for a lot of time, I think the bar was lowered a lot for our expectations of service, and they're starting to rise again, which I think is better for everybody all the way around. Put forth good service at the end of the day.
Yeah. Our guest has got 12 years of proven service with, from what I understand, regularly scheduled guests. So they're doing something extremely right here.
No doubt about it. Absolutely. We got Noah here today, the head chef, executive chef, I guess, with Stefano's, one of Morgantown's premier dining destinations. Glad to have you, Noah.
I'm glad to be here.
Tell us a little about yourself. You were born in Florida?
Yeah, I was born in the Florida Keys and grew up here in Morgantown, West Virginia. Cooking always, caught my eye as a kid. It was something I wanted to do, wanted to try doing, and just decided why not give it a shot.
Yeah. So did you start at home in your own kitchen there?
Yeah, I started, watching my grandma cook, watching my mom cook. It was just something that was, a big part of our family.
So what turned your passion finally into being a paycheck?
Realizing I could make money from it.
Yeah.
Seeing that, I can go and do something that I'm interested in for money, maybe even a career.
When did you get your first paycheck, I guess, to finally
say
that it was accomplished?
13 years old. I was a dishwasher at a restaurant that had just opened up on High Street, Chico's Fat Burritos.
Oh, yeah.
You say a very interesting thing, and, you and I have a fair amount of common. In fact, the matter is, Zach has a lot in common with it. Although he hasn't done it to get a paycheck, I certainly have for the majority of my life. But Zach in himself is quite a gastronomic himself. But you mentioned the grandmother part of this, and this is one of the things that I find that's very unique. I say the exact same thing. I started cooking as a kid with my grandmother, and while the dishes she prepared were super simple, I mean, it was really very, very not much more than fried pork chops and a pot roast every once in a while or whatever. It was very, very simple fare. However, I learned at that point in time, it was the level of caring that went into the dish that really changed the flavor profile. And I truly believe this to this day. The more you care about the people that you're serving, the better that food will taste. Is that your similar experience with your grandmother and as you've come through the culinary arts?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because you didn't have a pedigree, so to speak, or this, a piece of paper at the end of the day. You didn't go to a culinary school?
No, I went to the Culinary School of Hard Knocks is what I tell people.
Yeah, right on. Same here.
Learn as you go, and you get a better idea of what people expect that way. It's not a closed-minded one, specific French school that, you learn everything French. You don't serve French everywhere.
That's exactly right. You're 100% right about that.
Yeah. I started with, really high interest in Latin cuisine. It was something that I was always, we didn't have, we had good Mexican in Morgantown, but we don't have, authentic, great Mexican, and working in a restaurant with, these guys that were from Southern California and, were exposed to that and trying to put that here really, got my juices flowing, so to speak. And then I started at the Golden Finch after Tommy Thompson closed Madeline's, and he was, you know, very eclectic, but, you know, there was a lot of, there's, you know, vast opportunities on his menu for which direction you wanted to go as a customer. If you wanted, you know, you wanted to go Asian kind of curry, he would have that. If you wanted to keep it classic, he would have that.
Yeah, they kind of had like that, what I thought was like a hybrid French onion roasted garlic soup. With
yeah,
the egg.
Roasted garlic soup.
Man, that was incredible.
Egg. Yeah, it was. That was awesome. That's one of my all-time favorite soups that I've ever had anywhere or seen anywhere.
Did you ever make it?
No, I never make it. Okay. You know, that's one of Tommy's things. How is it? You know, that's, you know, I don't want to directly rip them off or anything, you know, but that's, you know, it's one of those that I appreciate.
Tommy's one of the best in town, no doubt about
absolutely,
it.
Absolutely. You know,
So I want to go back to what you mentioned, Aaron, about grandma's kitchen and the care that goes into food. You know, simple ingredients. So like pasta carbonara, it's got four ingredients essentially. So, you know, care is not an ingredient, but what changes that when it gets on the plate? I mean, there is. So, you know, I could make it, you could make it, and Aaron could make it. And it might taste different from all of us.
Oh, it 100% will.
Absolutely. And I do, to some degree, think that care is an ingredient. It's an intangible it's an intangible. And I do, but however, being intangible, I still think you certainly taste it at the end of the day. I truly believe that's what makes it that difference.
Absolutely. You know, even something as simple as carbonara, you know, it's all about how you care for those specific ingredients, you know, to get, you know.
I tell you, carbonara, while, you know, and I say this all the time about many things, simple doesn't always mean easy.
No,
you know what I mean? It's certainly simple, but it's not easy to pull it off right, especially if you're doing it correctly with the egg and that kind of thing. Didn't you just make this dish recently?
I've been contemplating it.
I love carbonara personally. It's one of my favorites. I've certainly not done it great justice over the years as far as a classical presentation, but I certainly love it. Very good.
Yeah, I tend to stay away from carbonara in the restaurant because, you know, if 50 people order it, I'm going to have 50 plates of food. It's so hard to replicate consistently. You know, if you're at home and you slightly overcook the egg, it's okay. But when you're charging somebody for a plate of perfect carbonara, it's really hard to deliver.
You don't want to mess that up.
Yeah.
So tell us a little about the restaurant here.
So we've been open since 2009, doing more Italian and some French cuisine. You know, we've got a lot of classic staples, you know, veal piccata, we do a veal Milanese and, you know, more Italian fare, but you know, we try to keep a bunch of fresh seafood going too. And that's more, you know, the French aspect, French preparations and stuff.
I've had the veal piccata and it is fantastic. Like we were talking earlier, piccata is one of my absolute favorite dishes, especially in the Italian line. That's probably my go-to.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's a staple here.
And it's fantastic.
One thing that interests me here, I know Aaron, I can't remember what episode it was on, or maybe we were just eating lunch. You mentioned, Jerry Seinfeld came in, you made him a peanut butter sandwich and it was orange juice.
I did. He wanted, you know, we had the restaurant at the airport for a very long time and people don't really realize how many famous people transit through that place because Nemacolin draws a lot of famous people to stay there. And, at one point they had a landing strip there, but now with the size and technology of these enormous private jets, they just don't have the ability to land them there. So they would land them at Morgantown and then they would ferry them via limousine out to Nemacolin. So we actually had a lot of people and we got a lot of catering for these jets and Seinfeld had put in an order one time for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. He wanted hand squeezed orange juice, like specifically hand charged him like $110, man, for a peanut butter sandwich. And like, you know what? My time's worth something too. If I'm going to stand around squeeze oranges, you're going to pay me.
Absolutely.
And no one ever blinked at the price.
Of course not.
Yeah, they didn't blink at that.
Yeah. You know. Well, I saw Shatner's picture on the wall back here. Now, did you get to serve him personally?
No, I did not. That was before my time.
I'm sure you've had some famous people come through. Is Shatner one of the top ones, or you had anybody else?
Yeah, I think so. We get a lot of well-known athletes and stuff. None that I can name off the top of my head.
Right. Well, you guys got a pretty good connection here with WVU and WVU Athletics and stuff. Bob Huggins is here tonight, you know, doing his thing. And so, yeah, I'm sure you got a pretty good connection with that. You know, in the Lorenz family, you know, you're working with, you know, maybe a lot of people don't know, the Lorenz family owns this entire, you know, plaza here, the Suburban Lanes Plaza and so forth, where you guys are located here. You spend a lot of time working with Jerry?
Oh, yeah. Jerry's, one of my best friends as well as my boss. You know, he's a great guy to work for.
Great family all the way around. Don't know him real well personally, but certainly know him peripherally. My family knows him quite well, and so have a lot of same kind of context, but, you know, certainly one of Morgantown's influential families, no doubt about
it. Yeah,
that.
Absolutely. And we, you know, we try to support the community where we can, when we can. You know, we support the WVU Athletics, Children's Hospital, West Virginia, we support, you know, and just try to give back, you know.
That's really good to hear. Yeah, the Children's Hospital, that's going to be a big wing there. Yeah. Oh, wrapping
yeah.
up there.
Oh, yeah.
One thing I always wonder when I'm sitting at a restaurant is, and you guys maybe can answer this too, since, you know, Aaron, you were in this for a lifetime and you've been in this for many, many years. If I go to a restaurant, is it ever any, might maybe find the same chef there over time? Yeah, you sometimes you get a dish somewhere and you go to another restaurant, you're like, man, I remember this a little bit. There's some similarities here. You ever find that? And is there a tight-knit group of chefs?
There is. I'll let Noah answer that question, you know, as far as, you know, people coming in and out of the restaurant business and how they kind of circulate through a little bit.
Yeah, you can get some individual's influence in a, you know, a different establishment that he would work, you know. You know, you learn things along the way, and sometimes, you know, you find something that you really like at one establishment that you want to keep serving elsewhere. You know, it's interesting though, in a tight community like Morgantown, you know, where, oh, did he steal that from me, or did I take that from him?
Yeah.
You know, Zach brings up a unique question. I think maybe his question was more to the point of some of the personnel that kind of transfers through and comes through. I know when we were at the Morgantown Airport, Back Bay, Chef Ken was essentially across the street from us. And we saw, you know, there some dude come in and he would tick me off and I'd fire him. And he would go right next door and he'd be working for Ken for like 6 months until Ken got sick of him. He'd fire him and then I'd hire him back. You know, it's just, you know, has that been the case here too? Not that you get sick of people and fire them, just people transfer and, yeah, you know, because plenty of them quit too. So
every restaurant I view as a revolving door.
That's it.
With, you know, staff, clientele, you know, some people want to work for 3 months and then go take 3 months, work somewhere else, and you'll see them again.
That's exactly right. You know, but you bring up an interesting point, which I really like, is that the vestige of what they influenced while they were there and they left. Because I worked with some, I mean, I can look back in my culinary career and look at the people that greatly influenced me as far as my personal flavor profile is what I would say. Now, the way I cook and to my taste, what that is. And I can look back at I worked with this Moroccan guy named Shakir when I was a young kid, you know, and he had a French culinary background, you know, professional French culinary background, but he also had that North African, he knew that North African, Moroccan and Algerian and Tunisian type food, and certainly got exposed to all those flavors and how to do that kind of stuff. And I worked with chefs from India, I worked from chefs from Sudan, I worked, you know, with people from all over the world, and I was able to pick up these things, and American chefs as well, people from the Red Fox, you know, down at Snowshoe. So I could point to each one of these and name them by name. I'm not going to do that here, but do you have that same, I'm sure you have that in your background as well.
Yeah, it's tough for me. I've never been at a place where I can thrive and cook exactly what I want to cook. You know, that's a deep question for me.
Well, it is, you know, and so you're the executive chef here, and I always felt like, you know, at Alibaba's, we certainly had a theme, right? We were known for a thing, which was really Middle Eastern, and or some would say Greek or Lebanese, you know, certainly all those things there. But the weekend specials really gave me the artistic freedom to kind of explore and do those other things. Do you also get that kind of freedom here to explore to some degree on the weekends?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. On the specials and features, you know, I have that freedom. You know, we try to showcase higher-end Italian cooking, you know, mm-hmm. old classics that you won't see, you know, ossobuco, Dover sole, stuff like that.
Ossobuco.
Yeah. I got some awesome ossobuco coming in this weekend.
That's fantastic. Very few people do ossobuco and certainly do it well. Okay, so let me ask you this. When Noah gets the ability to kind of do what Noah wants to do, what is it?
I like simple. I like fresh, clean flavors. You know, scallop appetizer I have now is, you know, some really good diver scallops. Just a blood orange gastric, fresh citrus, some fennel pollen, and some local microgreens. And that's
all right.
It.
So I'm going to tell you right now, like 100% of people just heard that and they were like, that's not simple to me. All right. Now, so what's simple to you clearly is not simple to the everyday average Joe, right?
That's true. The way we portray it is not simple, but at the end of the day, all it is, you know, orange juice, vinegar, sugar, and a couple.
I got you, but spoken like a true chef. Yeah, you know what absolutely. I mean? Spoken like a true chef, you know, that this is simple. It's not simple for most people.
And that brings that element that you look for too. You know, someone goes, I got my menu, orange juice, vinegar. This sounds pretty boring.
Right.
But now you just frame it in your terms and you're like, I'm eating high today.
Yeah. He just said gastric.
Yep. This is nice.
Yeah. Right on.
Yeah. And you might pay $20 more for that. Just for that word being there.
Yeah, that's exactly yeah, right. That word costs a little bit of money.
A whole different experience in your taste buds.
You know, I love the way you said simple food. And I would agree with you. For me, it's always been about, I've always said, I like poor people food. That's what I like to cook is poor people food. You know, I always found that the poor communities took the least fancy ingredients and made the best tasting food. You think about barbecue, like, you know, what's more packed full of flavor than barbecue. And that was because, you know, well, poor Southerners and especially poor Southern blacks didn't get the opportunity to have good cuts of meat. So they had to figure out ways to make it tender and delicious.
But that's kind of true. Like if you watch, you know, cooking shows from around the world, every city they're in, they're like, this is the poor people's food. This is what we eat every day. But then you go to the neighboring town and you're paying substantially more because you're there for the experience of what you
isn't
couldn't
that
have.
Right? Isn't that the crazy part, though?
It like goes back to that charcuterie board that we talked about.
I was thinking the exact same
that's
thing.
A simple little thing that's we ate that because it's what we had, and now you guys are on Instagram charging $80 for this.
Yeah,
you know,
right. I see the dishes of olive oil on the table here, you know, and so thinking about dipping bread in, I mean, that's a big deal, but that's like everyday life, you know, in some places,
right? Well, a lot of Italian cooking was poorer food. That's how, you
absolutely
know, you know, things evolved. Even the carbonara, you know, eggs, pasta, and salt pork. That's, you know,
done.
That's what you had.
Yeah,
you know, and it's, you know, you can develop a lot of flavors that way, really simply, and start going from there. I think a lot of fine dining now is overcomplicated, way too complex. You know, if there's more than one word like gastric, you know, if you've got a gastric, a foam, and a galfret, you know, you might scare some people away, especially regionally here in Morgantown. We're not as hip as some, you know, big city environments.
I'm with you. And the fact of the matter is some of those terms, I don't even know them in depth personally. And, I've been cooking for a long time, you know. I don't know them in depth for a lot of those things.
Most of those terms can be shortened to very simple words in our own language.
Yeah, right.
You know?
That's
so
right.
It's overcomplicating things to some aspect. For
now, don't mind me saying, but you're clearly a younger guy.
Yeah, I am. I'm 27 years old.
27, so you haven't even hit the ripe old age of 30 yet.
No, not yet.
And you've been in the business a long time. You started as a very young man. Is that correct?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I've spent about half the time I've been alive, I've spent working in kitchens.
Yep. Now, is that something you've always endeavored to do, or is that something that's, you know, kind of come in and out of your life? How has that played a role in your life?
It's come in and out a little bit, but at the end of the day, I really enjoy cooking. That's, you know, that's what I want to do. I couldn't imagine sitting in a cubicle all day or
no way
not doing something with my hands. Yeah. You know, it gives me satisfaction. You know, before I even graduated high school, I jumped on a Greyhound bus, went out west to pursue a job cooking. And, you know, it was just something that I really wanted to do. That's, you know, I was on board with it. And
that's a great story in and of itself, you know, just that adventure, you know, and getting into that. Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, eating is an adventure. Like, it's something, it's both things. It's something that's just so rudimentary that you have to do it, technically.
Right.
But it could all go all the way to the other end of that, just totally extravagant and totally decadent on the other end of that. You can do all those things in between. It's really a unique thing, especially in today's world where everybody's kind of a foodie these days. And a lot more people are very interested in what their food is, where it came from, how it was raised, and, you know, just this whole litany of things that comes along with eating these days. And you think, it's a sandwich. But a sandwich isn't just a sandwich anymore. And there's a lot that goes into it.
Hey, Aaron. Hey, let's take a break and check out this week's community moment. From their famous appetizers to signature dishes, Stefano's of Morgantown has a seasonally changing menu to ensure the best fine dining in Morgantown. Their reputation is upheld by unwavering commitment to customer service and satisfaction, an Italian tradition like no other. Follow Stefano's on Facebook to keep up with their seasonal dishes, their Wine Wednesdays, cocktail specials, and other news at their restaurant. And guess what, guys? They're community podcast approved. And remember, reservations are recommended, so call ahead.
Stefano's of Morgantown is a fine dining restaurant specializing in modern Italian and European cuisines. We have an extensive wine list and fully stocked bar that complements our fresh seafood, hand-cut prime steaks, innovative weekly specials, and a seasonally changing menu. Our talented, hospitable team is ready to exceed your fine dining expectations. Let Stefano's give you an incredible dining experience that you'll never forget.
Nobody can ignore the fact that there's supply chain issues and there's things going on. Is that affecting the restaurant industry currently?
Absolutely. Before the pandemic, I spent 2 or 3 hours a week sourcing food and ordering. You know, I could push a button on a computer and that ingredient would show up. Now I have to check, you know, 5 or 6 suppliers to see if they have it. You know, and some suppliers don't have the quality that we're looking for, so I have to jump to a different one. And, you know, with delivery shortages, driver shortages, just getting the products has been a new experience for me.
The labor shortage is affecting you on the supply side as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. We're short delivery drivers. They're short, you know, people picking the produce, people, you know, catching the fish. There's been a lot less on the market, a lot less things that I get to play with, you know.
Man, it's such a unique time. There's so much going on, and, you know, very few. And here's the unique thing. If you're doing your job right, your customers never know any of that stuff.
Right.
Exactly.
Right?
They'll never even know that that stuff exists.
That's what we try to do. You know, I try not to be out of anything on our menu. You just try to, you know, try to keep like nothing happened.
Yeah.
You
right.
Know?
Right. That's the goal at the end of the day.
Do you notice anything now that we're kind of coming out of the last year and a half, 2 years, things picking back up, or did you guys have much of impact over the
prices are starting to drop a little bit?
Okay.
There's been some extreme inflation, especially on the higher end specialty products, but you know, we're starting to see some relief now. But you know, as soon as you get some relief somewhere, they find a way to, you know,
they do it. So it seems like once those prices goes up, they never really come back down, or at least certainly not to the rate that they started at. And, you know, that's got to impact you guys quite severely here, because you're doing so many things that are center of the plate type stuff. And maybe a lot of people don't really know the ins and outs of the finances, you know, on the food side of things. But your food cost, I would venture to say you run a fairly high food cost here.
One of the highest I've ever
seen. Yeah. I would think it would have to be, because even though, you know, people may understand why that dish costs X amount of dollars, right? Like, why am I paying $50 for a steak? And I explain it to them, well, you know, because someone really massaged this cow and talked really nice to it, you know, right, so this steak's more expensive. I can understand that, but it doesn't mean that I'm willing to pay for it, right? And so that doesn't always translate. So how has business been for you?
Business has been good.
That's great to hear.
I'm not sure if it's, you know, people just want to get out of the house now more, or if, you know, if they're just really digging what we have to offer here.
Yeah.
We've been consistently busy, you know, and these last 2 years have been, you know, record-breaking numbers.
Really? That's really good to hear.
Yeah. I tell everybody, like, oh, I want to come into Stefano's and eat. I say, make a reservation. I don't want to disappoint anybody coming into the door, and we've been, you know, fully booked for a week.
Yeah.
That's right. It is a fairly limited dining room, that there is that in and of itself. And it's high-quality food. It's not something, when you're hand-making every dish from scratch, it'd be difficult to have a dining room that sat 200 people.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, it'd be very difficult. Yeah. Well, the place is fantastic. I got to say, it's certainly the best ambiance we have had for any of our podcasts, that's for sure, because it's a great, great setting to sit here and just kind of look around the place. I've personally eaten here. I've only eaten here a couple of times myself, but everything I've always had here has been absolutely top of the line, tip-top food, man, all the way around. So kudos to you on that.
Yeah, thank you very much. I mean, that's what we try to do. You know, when I became the executive chef, I really wanted to, you know, keep what we had going at Stefano's, not really change too much, and, you know, just keep it consistent. I think that's paying off in the long run.
You guys listen to country music at all?
In the kitchen.
Luke Combs. So he's got that song, it's called Doing It. Essentially, he says, like, you know, he's sitting here writing songs, he's collecting a paycheck for it, but the song essentially means that if he wasn't getting a check, he'd still be doing it because he loves it. I think, go back to that care, I think that's part of what it is. Because, you know, I mean, Aaron, he's been out of the kitchen for a little while, but I have a feeling he still would go back to it right away if he could, because he just loves it. There's something about what you guys do that you love so much that even if you weren't paying the bills by it, you'd still be doing it. And I think that's that care element that goes into the food, is it's just that passion for what you do. And
Well, you're 100% right about that, Zach. I mean, you're not wrong. There's a certain look to work in a commercial kitchen like this. It takes a certain attitude, especially to be in a leadership position in there. Clearly, and you know, Noah and I had some great conversation kind of before we started recording here. That the love of that intensity. There's a certain intensity that's on a cook line when you've got everything going crazy. You got six different saute pans going. You got stuff on the char broiler. You're yelling orders at this, and you're putting this up, and you know, and it's an amazing thing to watch. If you haven't been there, it's really an amazing thing. You get fired up by the juice there.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's it's almost an addiction, a high almost. You know, I get a little anxious before my dinner service. You know,
sure.
Waiting to.
It's almost like going on stage. At the end of the day, everything does your names on all of it.
Right. It's almost like I'm a conductor of an orchestra sometimes. You know,
and tempers can flare. Does that happen here?
Sometimes, yeah. My whole kitchen staff. We've all known each other for.
Yeah, man. But
a
you
really
get into weeds,
time.
Man. People can tempers can flare. Yeah, I've seen it. You know.
Tempers do flare, but you know
But at the end of the shift, everybody's cool. By the time you clean it
always.
Up,
always. Yeah, we have. Personal relationships and, you know, work always stays separate from the personal relationship. If I say something now, come on, hurry, 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 let's go. You know, he might be upset for 30 seconds, a minute about it, but, you know, it all brushes over. He'll be rushing me, you know.
I've seen it many times, so. You know, the staff, there's an eternal battle. It's like lions and hyenas, the eternal battle of cooks and wait staff. You know,
yeah, I mean,
it's
right,
but at the end of the night, they buy each other a drink and it's all good. You know, everything works out.
So tell us about your desserts. Desserts for me is the meal's always good.
You do have a sweet tooth.
Man, I do. And the desserts, man, it's funny because I can be completely filled up. Someone bring that dessert menu, I'm like, well, wait a second here.
Yeah,
what do you got?
We don't do a menu. We do a tray, a presentation of a tray of.
We always did that,
in between six and eight different options.
And then I'm like, well, I'll take this one, that one, and that one.
Yeah, right. And so all this tray is all, I don't want to call them dummy desserts, but they're not. Real food.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, there are ways I can keep ice cream sitting on a plate for a while. So we use like Crisco, stuff like that. Right. But,
Ooh, trade secret right there.
Yeah.
Inside scoop.
Inside scoop.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. But no, we have a couple house desserts that never change. And we do a pecan ball, is what we call it. It's vanilla bean ice cream rolled in cinnamon toasted pecans. And you can get your choice of caramel or chocolate sauce or both.
Yeah.
Serve it with a little homemade cinnamon twist cookie. We always have a creme brulee. Different kind of cheesecake. We circulate out like at the tiramisu, Italian desserts like that. We do a chocolate lava cake, of course. You know, they sell like crazy.
No doubt.
And then, you know, whatever we're feeling like doing, you know, in the fall, wintertime, the carrot cake is a great seller.
Yep.
You know, carrot cake's really not thought about much. Everyone's like, oh, carrot cake.
I love
carrot
a good
cake.
Carrot
oh,
cake.
I do too.
One of my favorites.
I do too.
Man,
and that's something I took on a
and
couple
creme brulee,
years ago.
You know, what a great one that is.
Yeah, it's incredibly simple and incredibly delicious.
Absolutely. 100% right. You know, and you get to run the little torch.
Yeah.
Know, right?
Yeah.
You guys use the blowtorch
to
darken up the sugar?
Quite a large propane torch.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, just a great dish all the way around. You know, there again, a classic, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
There again,
and
a classic.
There's not many places anymore that you can go out and get, you know, a creme brulee.
That's right.
You know, it's.
You might be the only one. I used to do a flan every once in a while, which is just the inverse, you know. You just put the caramel in the bottom, basically. You caramelize the sugar in the bottom and you served it, you know. So instead of caramelizing it on the top of the custard, but.
I like mine that when I tap with the fork, it's almost like hitting a thin piece of glass.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. Worry about getting a cut on your tongue. Oof, it's good.
Yeah. I'm getting hungry.
I am too.
What are you making for
I'll
lunch?
I'll get you guys a creme brulee here in a few.
There we go.
Yeah.
You talked about center of the plate food. Yep. That's that. Is that taking the elements and just making it into something just picturesque?
Yeah. So, you know, when I say that, I think about the center of the plate is really your protein, you know, selection for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, is that primary protein selection.
Okay. So what the presentation of it, though, I think there's an element that goes into that, too.
Oh, I'll let him talk about presentation.
You eat with your eyes first.
You eat with your eyes.
That's exactly.
Yeah.
If, you know, it doesn't matter how it tastes. If it looks like crap.
And that's the difference. You know, if I'm going to go to somewhere in Pittsburgh, I'm on their website, and then I'm on Instagram saying, well, what was their presentation like? What's going to pull me in there? And that does. And I think that's part of the big experience, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something we spend a lot of time doing, you know, making sure that, you know, that piece of fish is the right shape we want.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to taste the same whether it's a
rectangle,
square, or a circle. But, you know, to present it in a way that you're really wowing
yep.
the customer. You know, that's
it is about that wow factor. That's exactly right. You have to create that wow. That first wow is when you see it, and then the second wow is when you taste it.
Right. right?
It's another one of those intangible elements that goes into your food.
It is. And it also shows that level of dedication and care. You know, you see that level of care when a plate comes to your when it comes to your table and it's sloppy and it's got, you know, sauce on the side and, you know, or gravy. I always say, you know, cooks make gravy and chefs make sauce, you know. And you know, it's splattered up and it's not, you know, that it says something about what you do.
Yeah. It goes back to the care.
That's
right. You know, it's I'll yell at anybody if I see one dot of sauce out of place, and we'll replate it. That's you know, it's not what we're here to do. You know, it doesn't happen often, you know, but you know, if you get in a hurry, you know, you gotta be mindful and quick. You know, so it's a challenge.
It is a challenge, and you know, the culinary arts, you know, it's one of those few areas where everybody expects perfection. Each and every single time, and rightfully so. I'm not saying it's wrong, but it's something that stressful in and of itself. Like that dish has got to be perfect every single time, right? And that's not an easy thing to deal with.
No, and you know, my personal opinion, perfection is not attainable. You know, we strive for as close to perfection as you can get.
Right.
You can cook a steak the same way 1,000 times, and you're going to get a different result each time you do it. You know, that's it's tough with, you know, we have really nice, expensive cuts of meat. They've got to be on that exact specific temperature for that customer. You know, we get clients in here that want it a little bit over medium, a little bit under medium.
Yeah, and what is a little bit over medium?
Yeah, right, exactly right.
So, that's why I say that, you know, a lot of that becomes subjective at the end of the day. You know, it's very subjective.
Yeah, it is. And our dining room's darker than most, you know, so a medium piece of meat might appear to be medium well, visually. Mm-hmm. But, you know, with the temperature and the cook and everything, you hold your flashlight up to it and it, you know, it's...
Yeah. Let's go back to the very beginning. We started this out with talking about service, the importance of that. Yeah, I think another big aspect of eating out somewhere nice like this place here is the attention you get from everybody here and the staff doing, you know, helping you out. Do you personally train them on the menu? Are they, like, extremely knowledgeable on every piece of what's going on here?
They know pretty much every ingredient that goes in each dish just as well as I do.
Yeah.
They know the, you know, how it's prepared. And so if somebody has a question, oh, is there, you know, is there gluten in this? Or yes, usually there is gluten. He, you know, breads it in a slight bit of flour, but we can leave that off if you'd prefer. And that way we can get the customer what they want.
Yeah. That goes a long way. I think when you can, they can knowledgeably tell you about each dish that they're serving.
I totally agree. I usually have a checklist, you know, kind of a mental checklist when I ask my servers, you know, various questions, and like, you don't have an answer for that, and that and you just lost a check mark. You know what I mean? And that's...
Right. I ask them questions all the time that obviously I know the answer to.
Sure.
But just to keep them on their toes, you know, keep them, you know, well, what is a gas streak?
Right.
You know, and if they're like, oh, it's a sauce, you know, like... Then,
nice try.
Then we have a little lesson and make sure everybody knows, and then, you know, business as usual.
Well, I think the good ones, there's at a certain level, I say this, with just about anything, everybody's basically doing the same kind of stuff at a certain level. That making sure your staff is knowledgeable about the food is one of those things. We did the same thing at Alibaba's Forever. My dad was really big on that. You know, we had tests. You had to pass a test before you can even become a server, you know, on the because a lot of our ingredients were certainly very unique to the flavor profile from around here. And so you needed to make sure you knew those. The interesting thing, and maybe you've seen this too, Noah, and you can speak to this, is really, I remember as a kid, there really wasn't a lot of attention paid to allergies. And you mentioned the gluten thing. Have you seen that as a rise in your...
It's huge here. Yeah. I stay over-prepared. And we get a lot of, you know, shellfish allergies because they know that, you know, we know what to do for them. Mm-hmm. You know, I keep a separate fish spatula, separate set of tongs, you know, you know, gluten allergies, dairy allergies, you know, all that. You know, we can keep a really close eye on it because we, you know, we're on top of it and we care. And we want to be able to give that person as close to that original dish. You know, say it contained butter. You know, I'm going to do my best to use extra virgin olive oil to try to
recreate it as authentically as possible.
Yeah. Right.
And I think it's great that you don't complain about that. I've worked with a lot of chefs over the years, and I won't name some of them that I've worked with that just get incensed when someone wants something a little bit out of the ordinary, and it always boggled my mind as to why.
Yeah, it is frustrating sometimes. It can be, but you know, it's my job to give this customer exactly what they want, you know, and exactly what they can have. This, you know, it's part of the unique dining experience here. You know, if you're allergic to something and really have your eye on something that comes with what you're allergic to, we're going to try to, you know.
I think that's terrific, and that's really a sign of someone who's truly in service to others. It's really trying to make sure everybody has the best experience they possibly can. I think it's absolutely perfect.
Without a doubt. Let's go back to that word gastrique there and sharpen me up a little bit, since I don't 100% know what it means. Can you explain that to me?
The best of my ability. It's a gastrique is a sauce of, you know, some type of juice reduced with sugar and vinegar. So it's almost a sweet and sour sauce.
So is it being injected with air in some way to do anything else to it? What's it makes it?
No, it's just reduced down into almost a syrup, but not quite. It's tart, it's sweet, it's got a little bit of acid to it.
Yeah.
And it pairs well with a lot of things.
Okay.
I agree, especially something like scallops or something very mild like that. That's where I've typically like to use things of that nature myself. So
it's not overpowering. It really, you know, it complements.
Just complements what you're eating. Yeah. All right. Very good.
Well, one of the things I'll say about this place that I really like is it's a Morgantown original. Okay. So it's been here for a very long time at this point in time. How many years did you say?
12 years.
12
almost
years.
13.
Yep. Almost 13 years. That's a lifetime in the restaurant business. Typically that, you know, I mean, 80+% of restaurants fail within their first 2 years. So that's saying something quite a lot, I would say. And, you know, one of my biggest complaints about, you know, here Morgantown is a great place for people that like good food, because there's a lot of individualized restaurants, and there have been ever since I was a kid. It was a great place. I just had a friend that moved here from Maine, and they had two restaurants in their town. You know what I mean? Two restaurants. And, you know, he was like a kid in a candy store here. There's a restaurant on every corner. And, I mean, really kind of pick what you want to eat, you know, anything from Thai food to very good Asian food. There's Mexican food, and there's some that are it's on the higher end, you know. And then, you know, Stefano's is one of the premier fine dining establishments in this town. I don't know. I can only think of maybe two others, and I won't mention them in this regard, but certainly, you know, top echelon fine dining established here at Morgantown. That's saying something to be in the business that long at this level.
Yeah, we just try to keep everything consistent and, you know, high quality and, you know, give people what they want.
How many of those years have you been here?
Oh, probably 6 or 7 total.
Yeah, that's a big deal,
that
man.
Is,
I mean,
truly
that,
is.
That's a big deal, especially for a young guy like you. Good for you, man. Way to keep at it and making it happen. You know, and maybe you can add to this a little bit. My observation is unfortunately, there becomes an over-commercialization of the town in and of itself. I mean, everybody, all the town fathers tend to think that bringing in commercial chains is some kind of feather in their cap. I really find that to be quite the opposite, personally. I think it's San Francisco does not allow any chain restaurants with inside city limits. Now, that wouldn't do much for us because, you know, it's kind of a small area. But I do hate to see that over-commercialization of the chain restaurants coming in. I would much rather see guys like you in locations like this flourishing and succeeding. And that's certainly where I spend my dollars. How have you seen that over the years?
When I was a kid, Morgantown was, you know, a lot more mom-and-pop places.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, now there's, you know, a Chipotle or Chick-fil-A on every corner.
Oh, my mercy. You know, I've never ate a Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Really?
And I'm going to keep that streak alive. It's one of my goals. I'm not going to do it.
Oh.
A lot of people know me, like, you don't like God's chicken? I'm like, no, I'm not eating it, man. I'm not doing it. Abstinent right there.
But I agree with you, Aaron, though. I think there is something that just everything you get, you know, you can go to whatever you want, Capital Grill, wherever, all those chain places. Fantastic food. But if you get an opportunity to go outside to a place that, you know, does what they do to a high level like Stefano's, there's just the whole experience is far exceeds it.
We live in a day and age, and this is hard to think. You could go to an airport in New York City. Before you get on a plane, you could have a piece of apple pie. You could fly to the other coast in California, get off the plane, and have a piece of the exact same apple pie, right? Because they were made in this giant batch, and everybody sells it through your major broadline purveyor, and everybody's got the same stinking apple pie. There's nothing authentic about that whatsoever, and it's certainly something I just don't want a part of.
Right. A lot of people do like consistency, though. They know that pie is going to be the pie that they like.
You know? I got it. Come on, man. We're losing something.
I know. I totally agree with you.
Yeah, right.
But I see it from the other side, too. Yeah. You know, it's a lot of those, you know, a lot of those.
It's reliable.
It's reliable.
Yeah.
You know, and some people don't have a palate very advanced. You know, that's all they've eaten. That's all they want. And
there's a fear factor, too. I mean, if you're going to go and spend $50 at the place you know is going to be the same every single time, or you're going to, maybe I'm going to try something new and it's a special treat, maybe you're less willing to take that risk. I don't know. I think it's, for me, I like taking that risk because I love finding new places and I like the experiences.
That's
of it.
Part of the adventure. It, man, is. I mean, that's 100% part of the adventure. And I just absolutely resist that thought process.
I lived in Park City, Utah for about 3 years, and they had no corporate restaurants in city limits anywhere. And there wasn't much outside of it. You know, Salt Lake City was 30 minutes away, but even a town that small with 8,000 residents, they had, you know, more mom and pops than we have here in Morgantown now.
All right, it's break time. Let's hear a word from our community sponsor. From their famous appetizers to signature dishes, Stefano's of Morgantown has a seasonally changing menu to ensure the best fine dining in Morgantown. Their reputation is upheld by unwavering commitment to customer service and satisfaction, an Italian tradition like no other. Follow Stefano's on Facebook to keep up with their seasonal dishes, their Wine Wednesdays, cocktail specials, and other news at their restaurant. And guess what, guys? They're community podcast approved. And remember, reservations are recommended, so call ahead.
Stefano's of Morgantown is a fine dining restaurant specializing in modern Italian and European cuisines. We have an extensive wine list and fully stocked bar that complements our fresh seafood, hand-cut prime steaks, innovative weekly specials, and a seasonally changing menu. Our talented, hospitable team is ready to exceed your fine dining expectations. Let Stefano's give you an incredible dining experience that you'll never forget.
Well, I'll say I am personally very impressed, obviously, with you, Noah, and I'm glad to see you out here doing it and making it happen in real time, in real life, with real ingredients and real people. I think it's very refreshing. I'm glad to see it. And I'm really glad I got an opportunity to come down here and talk to you a little bit, talk shop just a little bit with you, too. So really great meeting you and really impressed with the operation you guys got here.
Yeah, it was a pleasure to have you guys, and I'm glad you guys are doing this and, you know, help showcase the community and try to, you know.
I think one of the most impressive things for me is just the commitment that you have to what you do.
What you're saying, Zach, is the perseverance through the hardship really creates a better product.
Sure, that's exactly right.
Yeah, I think that's exactly where you're heading. I totally agree with you. I can see that in Noah, that, you know, coming through that way and sticking with it. And when you say commitment, you're right, because I'm going to tell you right now, I know what you have to do because I've been there, right? When was the last time you had a holiday off?
I can't answer that
question. Yeah, right. Yeah, crickets. Yeah, crickets. Yeah. So, yeah, I know what it's like. You miss every event. You miss everything. You're always in the back when everybody else is having a good time, right? You cook all this tremendously gorgeous and amazing food, and I bet you your diet is probably not that at the end of the day. My wife was always shocked. I'd come home and I'd be eating cold leftovers out of the fridge. She's like, "You just spent the whole night cooking." I'm like, "Yeah, that's right. That's what I did."
That's it. I mean, to be honest, I get HelloFresh meals delivered to my house. You know, I get three of those meals a week just to have something different. You know, just.
Yeah, so people don't really know what that level of commitment really is. And I do, and I commend you for it. And if you're listening to this, well, now you know too.
That's what it's all about. All right, let's get this dessert going here.
Oh, watch, Zach's going to eat this right now.
We do this at the end.
That's a vanilla bourbon creme brulee.
Oh, man. So
Madagascar vanilla beans, bullet bourbon.
Bullet, one of my favorite bourbons.
You guys can't pick this up on the mic, but just the aroma here is just incredible. Yeah. Fantastic.
Absolutely amazing.
Without a doubt. I'll probably eat that in about 3 seconds.
Yeah. Noah, thanks for spending time with us today and tell us about what you've done and you've accomplished here. Really, really appreciate it. And we encourage everybody that's listening out there, make sure you get an opportunity. Stop out at Stefano, support the local business, support local culinary arts, and do that.
Absolutely. Thanks again.
Thank you, guys.